Now, Holy Spirit, we come to you tonight in praying that you would open our eyes, that you would encourage the hearts, oh God, of those that have been wearied through the battle of life and through the challenges of the day. For we know, God, that you are greater, powerful, more awesome and stronger than any opponent that we'll ever face. So today our vision is renewed, our faith is stirred, and our spirits are soaring, oh God, in heavenly places. Now bless your people, Father, and may revelation knowledge flow, God, tonight freely. May our hearts be receptive to the word of the Lord, for it is eternal. And may we, oh God, never be the same from this moment of encounter with you, that we forever will be changed because we touched the hem of your garment. We ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Why don't you greet somebody tonight? Welcome them to the house of the Lord. Thank you, Ashley, Jonathan. Amen. Come on, give somebody a hug. Don't be shy. You know, you gotta let people know you love them. I think that's important, isn't it? You gotta let people know you love them. And you do that with your heart. You do that with your heart. You let them know from your heart. And that's so important. Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to see you tonight. Wednesday night again. Man, it seemed like just yesterday. Here we are again. Another week has gone by. And we're 1 week closer to heaven. And I like that, man. I like that. 1 week closer to heaven. Let's get our Bibles out if you have one tonight. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. And I want you, before we read a scripture, to just look at somebody and say, I've just got to tell you, help is on the way. Come on, just tell them. I've got to tell you, help is on the way. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you guys know. Come on, help is on the way. Now go to Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. The prophet Isaiah declared this to O Israel. And he said in verse 10 of Isaiah 41, fear not, fear not. And isn't that our biggest opponent in life? Isn't that the thing that looms over us and controls us? What if this is going to happen? That's going to happen. Look at this evidence. Fear. But God said, fear not. And one preacher said, why not? Why shouldn't I fear? Well, the next verse tells us why we shouldn't fear. For God said, I am with you. He said, be not dismayed, for I am your God. Then he says, look what I'm going to do. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to help you. And I'm going to uphold you with my righteous right hand. I just want to bring a word tonight of encouragement to all of us that help is on the way. And when you're in the midst of trouble, don't be dismayed. Don't get discouraged. And don't let fear rule your heart. Because God is with us. He said he'll never leave us nor forsake us, even though times when things seem to be so dark around us, we can't find our way. He's never left, for God is there. I like Psalm 46 and verse 1. Do you know that scripture? It says, God is our refuge. And what else does it say? A very present help in time of trouble. Now watch this. This is powerful because when you're in trouble, watch, he's a very present help. So that tells me that if I find myself in trouble tonight or during the week, God is already present in trouble. So there's no trouble that comes to you or me that doesn't bring God with it. I'm encouraged tonight to know that I might be in trouble, but I've got God with the trouble. You see, that's what the scripture says in this particular portion of Psalm. He said, God's our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So don't say you can't get no help. Don't say there's nobody to help me. Don't say you don't know what to do. I think rather than take that position, we ought to start looking for the help that's present in the trouble. Now, to locate our help, we got to go to Psalm 124 and verse 8. This helps us to locate our help. Read it with me. Are you ready? Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Watch this. Sometimes when you're in trouble, you don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. You don't know what counseling to go ahead and get. You don't know what book to read, what Bible verse to quote. You don't know what prayer to pray. You don't know what church service to go to, what preacher to listen to on TV. Watch. And you're in trouble. We know help comes with trouble. And now we find out that that help came with trouble. But how do I locate the help when I'm in the trouble? The scripture says it's in the name of the Lord. So suddenly if I find myself in trouble, I know help came with it because that's what the word of God said. It can't lie. Now I know how to locate the help when I'm in trouble. Because sometimes when I'm in trouble, I can't see because of the tears that are in my eyes. Sometimes I can't see because of the darkness that has surrounded me. Sometimes I can't feel anything. Sometimes I don't know anything because I'm so upset emotionally. But I know one thing. Help is in that trouble. Now all I've got to do is locate the help. The Bible tells me how to do that. It's in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, lift up your hand. Say, thank you, Jesus, that in your name is help. You see, sometime when you're in trouble, all you can do is cry out and say, Jesus, Jesus. I don't care where you are. You could be in the court of law where they do not permit the religious mingling in the law. You can still say, Jesus. You could excuse yourself at work and go into the bathroom stall, and if nothing else, just get in there all by yourself and say, Jesus, you got to help me. Because it's in the name of the Lord. Now I want you to go to 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 11. This is a powerful story. It is the launching story of Saul as the king over Israel. And you have to understand the nation was under siege. The enemy was attacking. It was intimidating. We see that these Amorites came up. They encamped around of Israel. And they said, make a covenant with us and we will serve you. And you know, does that go to the next scripture in verse 2? And the Amorites answered them and said, on this condition, I'll make a covenant with you that I put out your right eyes and bring reproach on Israel. Now watch. See, the enemy sometimes doesn't want to destroy you. He just wants you to agree with him. And he wants you to bow to him. And he wants you to come into submission on his standards. The Amorites said, look, we'll make a covenant with you, but we've got to take your right eyes out. And we also have to make you a reproach in Israel. And so we see the messengers went back to all of Israel and they began to lament. The Bible said they all began to weep because they knew that there was no way they could beat the Amorites. They knew not in the natural they could stand a chance, that they were hemmed in on every side. And it seemed like all they could do was submit to the terms of the devil. Now be careful, ladies and gentlemen, because when you're under attack and when you are finding yourself in trouble, the enemy is going to either want to totally and utterly defeat you or to convince you that the only way you can make it through this circumstance is if you compromise and agree to his terms. But this wasn't about to happen because there was a man yet in Israel. Now think about it. Everybody was weeping. Everybody was crying. Everybody was already given in to what was going to be their future. They saw themselves walking around with only one eye. They saw themselves under reproach and with shame. They saw themselves under the heavy hand of the Amorites. They saw their future taken away. They saw all their hopes and dreams dashed upon the rocks of this experience. They had already agreed with defeat. And they hadn't had one eye plucked out yet. And all they were doing was crying and whining and weeping. Until one man, I think it's in verse 5, now there was Saul. I like this. Now there was Saul. I like to think it, now there was Louis. Now there was George. Now, come on, somebody, come on. Now there was whoever. Put yourself in there. See, everybody might feel like they're in trouble. But Saul came behind from the herd of the field and he said, what troubles the people that they're weeping? What's going on here, everybody? What happened? And they told him the words of the men of Jabesh. Now listen to this. Hold it right there. The same words that came to everybody else that made him weep came to Saul. The same report can come to one and destroy them in fear and come to another and stir up their spirit. Now that makes me want to know, how can I get a stirred up spirit when I start hearing the intimidations of a devil? I got to figure this thing out, because if Saul heard the same words as the whole nation and didn't join in on their weeping, then I want to know what the difference was. And here we go. The Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard this news, and his anger was greatly aroused. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. I believe the Spirit of the Lord came upon all of Israel. But I feel like the difference was Saul took the Spirit of God that came upon him and became indignant in his righteousness and said, who do these uncircumcised Amorites think they are, that they're going to pluck out our right eye and they're going to make us a reproach and a shame in Israel? Don't they know whom God that we really serve? In other words, Saul started looking for the help in trouble. Saul began to call upon the name of his God. And sometime when you've got evidence that is indisputable in the natural, I'm talking about they've got all the cards, they've got all the authority, they've got all the power, they've got all the influence, they've got all the money, they've got all the answers, and they tell you what they're going to do. All you and I have is the name of the Lord. And let me tell you something. How many know the name is enough? Because there's help in the name. So you cannot back down and become intimidated and fearful and allow that spirit to take hold of you. Now I just want you to know, I've got to preach to me tonight. Oh, that's good, preacher. Yeah. Amen. I need to hear this. Because sometimes the evidence is indisputable. Sometimes the evidence is overwhelming. Sometimes the authority that comes against you is so convincing, it doesn't appear to be any way out. But I've got the name of the Lord our God. And in his name there is help. He's got help. So what happened? Go to the next verse. So he took a yoke of oxen, cut them in pieces, sent them throughout all the territory of Israel. And he said, I'm going to tell you right now, you afraid of the Amorites? You haven't seen anything yet. If you don't join me in battling them, I'm going to cut you up like I cut these oxen up. All of them said, "Whoo, man, Saul is like a crazy man. We better do something." So they all gathered together. There was 300,000. And they went to battle. And Saul made a statement that is so important for us to hear tonight. All of this took place at night. All of this took place after the sun had gone down, when Saul heard the news. And I know that sometimes trouble compounds at night. I don't know if you've ever had to struggle with it. You wake up at night and something, all of a sudden, a thought comes into your mind. And suddenly now it's more tormenting than you had ever thought about it throughout the day. The night brings with it intimidation. The night brings with it this reproach and this authority that it cannot be overwhelmed. And oftentimes we find ourselves tossing and turning in bed, wondering, can we go back to sleep? And fear begins to knock on the door of our hearts. And Saul, go to the next verse in verse 9. Keep going. Verse 10. This is what he says. Tomorrow we're going to come out to you and we may go do with us whatever seems good to you. Go to the next verse. And so it was on the next day that Saul put the people in three companies. But he said this, you know. He said, by the time the sun gets hot, you're going to have victory. Saul didn't see the night. Saul saw the sun on the next day. And so he began to talk to all of Israel and said, I don't know what verse that was. You need to find that verse for me. He said, by the time tomorrow sun rises at high noon, you're going to see the help of the Lord work on our behalf. Child of God, let me encourage you that when you're in the darkest of night and when all the evidence is overwhelming that you're going to be defeated, look for the help that God has provided for you in the time of trouble. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus and watch what will happen by the time the sun gets hot. In other words, his mercies are new every morning, and God's going to bring me through this night because he's faithful. What a prophetic story. Go to verse number 10. There it is. By the time the sun is hot, you shall have help. Verse 10. Can you go to verse 10? Therefore, the men of Jabesh said, tomorrow we will come out to you, and you may do with us whatever seems good to you. Verse 11. And so it was on the next day that Saul put the people in three companies, and they came into the midst of the camp in the morning watch and killed the Amorites until the heat of the day. Ooh, I like that. And it happened that those who survived were scattered so that no two of them were left together. God so utterly defeated the enemy that in their initial show of force, they looked impregnable. They looked undefeatable. But because he found help in time of trouble, because he called upon the name of his God, because he saw through the night. My God, give me anointing to see through the night. God, let me see through the night. Oh man, Elder Tossie talked about it tonight in prayer. For the joy set before him, he endured the suffering of the cross. He saw through the night. Give me night vision, God. Give me night vision, God, that I know the sun is going to rise again. He began to focus on the rising and not on the setting. He began to focus on the noonday sun, the brightest, when it's always the brightest. He began to focus on the brightest because the word of the Lord declares that the pathway of the righteous grows brighter and brighter day by day. You see, this is not over for those of us who know where help is. This is never over for those of us who find ourselves in trouble. Listen, don't you throw in any towel. I'm going to grab that towel and wring your neck with it. I'll have to get back there and slap you around a little bit. Don't you give up today. Don't you quit, because your help is in the name of the Lord and your God is about to give you deliverance. Come on, clap your hands and thank God. Come on, clap your hands and thank the Lord for the victory that's in the name of the Lord. I refuse to be defeated. I refuse to quit. You see, their lamenting was the result of forgetting whose care they were under. Do you know who cares for you? Do you know who died for you? We're singing about it tonight. Who carried that weight of sin? You think we're playing? You think we're just coming up with lyrics? That's actuality, man. God did this for you and did it for me. You see, we have tremendous care. You see, too often there's a vast store of blessing that God has for us, but we leave it untouched. We accept defeat rather than look for help. We accept defeat. You know, even the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, some of us have come to the place where we're content. And the Bible says to desire spiritual gifts. You know, I believe there's miracles in this room. I believe there's provision in this room. I have to believe that. If I didn't believe that, I'd have to quit this thing. And so if it's in here, if it's available to me, then why accept the defeat? Even though I don't feel it, even though I come in with a doctor's report, even though I come in with no money, even though I come in with depression, even though I come in with a rebellious child. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That evidence is not real. I have help in this trouble, and I'm going to call upon the name of my God, and God is going to deliver me by the time the sun gets hot. I'm going to prophesy. I'm going to speak in tongues and prophesy. I'm going to operate in gifts of the Spirit, discerning of spirit, words of wisdom and words of knowledge. I'm going to have operating the gift of faith. Come on, somebody. See, you know, we're not calling on our help. We're not calling on the provision. We've just accepted the fact that we don't operate in the gifts. I never have, but we don't pursue it. But your help is there. My help is there. Consider God who stands by you mighty to save. You know that verse 9, attacks come when it's dark. And Saul had his mind on the rising sun. I'm telling you, weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I got to start planning my joy party in the midst of my tears. I've got to start thinking, how am I going to celebrate this victory? What can I do? Can I call some friends over? Can I bake a cake? Can I have some kind of a pizza party or something? What can I do? Because I know God's going to bring me through this, so I better start getting my invitations together. Let's say I want Auntie M to come, and I want Uncle Joe to be there, and I want Sister So-So to be there, and Brother So-So to be there, because we're going to party down, because God is going to bring me through this. Instead, we start planning our funerals. We start planning our lamenting. We start planning our defeat. We start trying to figure out how life is going to be without. No, I'm going to go find some kind of party hat and put it on. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 says he upholds all things by the word of his power. I like verse 6 in 1 Samuel 11 because it says that when Saul heard this, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And if you understand in the Hebrew there, it's a pretty powerful thing. It actually means it made Saul enthusiastic. It comes from a compound Latin term, entheo, which means God in you. How many have God in you tonight? Let me see your hand. Then how can you not be enthusiastic about life? Enthusiasm comes from the Latin word, compound word, entheo, which is God in you. You see, when you get God in you, you're enthusiastic about living. You say, well, I would be if I didn't have all this trouble. Trouble has gotten big in your eyesight. You have forgotten that comes with trouble is the name of the Lord. The help of God comes with trouble. There is no temptation that is given unto man that God doesn't make a way out for you and a way out for me. Church, don't you hang your head. You're coming through. You're breaking through. You're coming over. You're coming back. You're going to make it. You're not going to quit. We're going to get the victory. We are more than conquerors. I know it's Wednesday night and some of you are tired, but just help me as a preacher and shout hallelujah one time. All right, amen. I know we got to be cautious on Sunday morning for all of those seeker people, but you know, Wednesday night, man, this ought to be the house. This ought to be the church. God, help us. People always ask me, how you doing? How you doing? I said, man, I'm having a time of my life. But in reality, if you check some stuff, it's not looking too good. People say, how you doing, preacher? I said, I'm pumped up. I'm in Theo. I'm about to have a party. And I'll cry if I want to. Because sometimes you cry at your own party because trouble hadn't lifted yet. But I refuse to allow the lamenting of trouble to take my praise away, to take my thanks away, to take my giving God the glory away. Because faith looks upon that which is believed as it were already an accomplished fact. But now let me just caution all of us here. In the next couple of minutes, when you get the victory, don't think you had anything to do with it. You know, we start walking around and say, yeah, I fasted and prayed, said the name of Jesus 15, 25 times. I think it was 25. I went to church. I did all, and I got the victory. Praise God. Look at me. Let me tell you a little story. When you think you and I have something to do with the help that's in trouble. I believe it was Jesus who rode into Jerusalem. The Bible said he rode in on a jackass. King James says, just ass. Don't be offended. I'm just reading the Bible. But for purpose tonight, we'll just say a donkey. Now you can imagine Jesus on this donkey coming into Jerusalem. The Bible said the crowds were so numerous, it was packed out. He came riding in, and pretty soon they lifted up their voice. Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! King of kings, Jesus! Lord of lords! People had their clap on, their dance on, their shout on. It was a time of celebration. The Bible said they even got branches off the palm trees and began to lay them down as the donkey and Jesus came into that city. It was a celebration. They even talked about how powerful Jesus was and the miracles that he had performed. I saw him when he did that. I saw him when he did that. Jesus, here I am, Jesus. Now, when you and I take any glory for God delivering us out of trouble, it would be the same or the equivalent to if the donkey bucked Jesus off, stood up on his hind legs and said, that's right, I'm bad, I'm bad. All them hosannas are for me. You think them hosannas are for you. You think all those praises are for you. Don't look at your neighbor and tell him, but you ain't nothing but a... I can't believe it. That preacher called me a jackass right in church. I heard him. So don't take the glory. Now you can look at somebody and don't smile. Just say, give God all the glory. Come on, give all God, all the glory to God. Look at Isaiah 42 and verse 8. Now therefore, there we go. Now therefore, take up for yourselves 7 bulls and rams and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. No, not Job, Isaiah. Where are you coming up with Job? That's all right. We make mistakes once in a while. I probably wrote Job, but it's Isaiah 42 and verse 8. It's up there now? Okay, there it is. I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory I will not give to another donkey, nor my praise to any carved images. So when you come out of the trouble, just lift your hands and praise him. Just put him on your lips and say, thank you, Jesus. Has he ever brought you out of trouble? Come on, lift your hands now and tell him, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You brought me out of trouble. You, with the trouble came your help. And with the help came your name. And God, when I spoke your name, it was released into my situation. Jesus. So we give him all the glory. I give it all to him, because without him, I could not make it. Without him, I could not make it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, we understand that we are just earthen vessels. All we are earthen vessels, and that the excellence of the power of God may be seen and not me. My life is nothing but a billboard with print on it, with a photo of his glory. And my job is to stand there erect and to publish his praise. My life is nothing but a servant to be able to carry the Christ into a situation. My life is nothing but a clay pot of which is filled with precious water to quench the thirsting soul of one who is dying. Your life and my life is nothing but a tool in the hand of God. There's another story of a man and a donkey. His name was Samson, do you remember? Where he picked up a fresh skull of a donkey. I find it amusing. I don't know how many Philistines he killed with that thing. I think it was 300. But he did them in. I can see it now. Did you ever see them little chattering teeth on a table? I can just see that donkey head after Samson put it down. Yeah, I'm bad. Yeah, I'm bad. Yeah, I'm bad. But it was in the hand of Samson. And so you and I, when given to the hand of God, will defeat any enemy and win every victory. And I want to encourage you tonight, if you're facing trouble in any way, I want you to know today that God is with you. Help is there. Call on his name. Say his name. And let the name of Jesus release that help. And then be careful to give him all the praise. Acknowledge your source of help. One other story I want to share with you. It's in Luke chapter 5. And it's kind of a humorous story. If you've ever been to Israel, the Sea of Galilee is really not a sea. It's a lake. It's a small lake. You can see across it. It's not very far at all. It takes just a few minutes to navigate its circumference. It's not very big at all. And I've been there on both the Golan Heights, Northern Shore, and the East and West Side. And there, Jesus meets the disciples after they had been fishing all night. Now remember, Peter, James, John, all of them, they've been fishing all their whole life. These are professionals. Did you know there are drivers on the road, then there are professional drivers? If you don't believe that, ask Elder Lowell. He'll tell you that he's a professional driver. It's an inside joke that needs to come on the outside. So ask him about that. But these were professional fishermen. They'd fished all night. All night they'd fished and didn't catch one fish. Nothing. Didn't catch one fish. And came in, it's now sunup. And they meet Jesus. And go to the next verse. And they're washing their nets. Go to the next verse. And he began to use Simon's boat. Go to the next verse. Began to preach. And when he stopped speaking, he said, "Hey, Simon, why don't you go out and launch out into the deep? And let down your nets for a catch." And Simon said in verse 5, "Master, we've toiled all night, caught nothing." Read between the lines. You're a carpenter, I'm a fisherman. Forget it. It doesn't work. Jesus said, it's not that way, Peter. But Peter said, "Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net." Now you know the story, right? They let down the net and they caught a great catch. So much so that the nets began to break and they had to give the harvest to other boats that were with them. And Jesus proved something to them that Peter had to learn. Do you think that catch could have been credited to Peter's experience? Or Peter's boat? Or Peter's net? Or Peter's obedience? Now we're getting closer. But understand something. When Peter had that great miracle in the bow of his boat, he had to come to a place in his life where he had to declare that it was all God and none of me. Now, in today's Christianity, if that miracle would have taken place, by the time Peter got back to the shore, he would have already contacted his publisher. He would have had photos ready for the great miracles that he performed under his anointing. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about. He would have started a school of ministry of catching fish when you can't catch no fish. People from all over the world would fly in and get training from Peter because Peter now has the anointing to catch fish. How silly we become. Where we run after men who operate and women who operate in miracles thinking they had something to do with it. When we would all be better spent to seek after the one who put the miracle in the boat instead of the one that counted the fish. You got to give God all the glory. Great things he hath done. You see, God wants to do great things, but he doesn't want to share his glory with any man. Peter, the net, the lure, the boat, his experience meant nothing. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 and 10. In this scripture, we understand that it's by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. I stand tonight before you by God's grace. I hold this microphone for the, I don't know how many thousandth time by his grace. I prayed in the Holy Ghost today and drove all over this county and did what I did by the grace of God. Tonight, by the grace of God, I'll make it home and lay down on my pillow one more time and give God thanks for the day and rise up in the morning to meet his mercy by the grace of God. And even by his grace, I may see you on Sunday. And if I do, we'll begin passionately with great enthusiasm to give God the glory. But I've got little or nothing to do with it at all. It's but the grace of God that has possessed my body. And then finally, look in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves. But our sufficiency is from God. Lord, without you, I am an utter failure. Without you, I can do nothing. And so tonight, I recognize that my help is in your name. And that's why the writer of Acts 4 said, there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. Whatever you're facing tonight, by the time the sun gets hot, you're going to see deliverance. Predetermine your praise. Now, I've got 10 grandchildren, one more on the way. Number 11 is here in church tonight. It's in April's womb. Today is my daughter-in-law's birthday, Rachel. We always have birthdays around my family. We have so many of us, it's like every other week there's a birthday party. But when there's a party coming, you get ready for it. When there's a celebration coming, now, some of us have been real elaborate. I celebrated my 50th birthday big. I went skydiving over the island of Oahu at 13,000 feet and jumped out of an airplane. That was a party. Whoo! You buy the plates. You buy the hats. You go get the card, you buy the gift, you bake the cake, you get the ice cream. And not any old ice cream, the kind they like. And not any old cake, but the one they are their favorite. And then we all sing and we take pictures and we celebrate. I'm saying predetermine your party. Even if you're in trouble tonight. And I'm talking to me. I'm no different than you are. I've got to predetermine my praise just like everybody else in this room. Sometimes people think because you're a preacher, you get a free pass. Whew. Sometimes I think you wear a target, man. You know, it's like, get this target off me. But I've got to predetermine my praise. And I feel like today with the economy the way it is, and I'm going to share on Sunday, this world is just looking for a bailout. And we even think if we throw money at God, it'll fix it. That's not going to fix it. Can't fix something from the outside in. But I'm going to tell you tonight, if you'll look for your help in time of trouble, God's going to minister to you. So Lord, put this in my heart tonight to pray for you if you're in trouble tonight. Just a simple prayer. I'm not any more spectacular than anybody else that'll pray for you. But I know trouble because I've been in it. And I found my help. And I got out of it. And I gave him the glory. So I know I can pray for you. You see? So maybe tonight you're in trouble in your business. Maybe you're in trouble in your finances. Maybe you're in trouble in your marriage. Maybe you're in trouble tonight. with your own personal morality, maybe you're in trouble. But don't you let the Amorites say, I'm taking your eye and I'm going to put shame on you for the rest of your life. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you tonight like he did Saul. And Saul will look through the night and see the rising of the sun. So in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare over this room that every person that's in trouble see through their night and get a hold and a vision of the rising of the sun tomorrow. God's going to bring you through. Thank you, Lord. And the grace of God is abundant and being poured out in this room right now. We came from a lot of different locations tonight, a lot of different situations, but we're all under the same anointing. And so I just want to pray, if you're in trouble of any kind and you need to find that help, I'm going to agree with you and believe God's going to give you the total, complete victory. Hallelujah. So just close your eyes with me. And so you say tonight, Pastor, that's me. I need that prayer. I just want you to simply stand if that's you. You know that this whole thing has been all about your situation. God designed the message. God put this in my heart to speak it, and it's for you. That's what it's for. That's why we came here tonight, for you. Thank you, Lord. And Father, I thank you for those that are standing, those that are in trouble, those tonight that are looking for their help in the time of trouble. And so I'm just going to simply ask you, if you will, if you want to, come and stand across the front, those of you that are standing. And I just want to simply touch and agree with you that the grace of God would be revealed in you in a powerful way tonight. And just, can we just worship real softly between us and Jesus? And just bless him tonight in this room. And the rest of us that are not standing or coming forward, maybe you could just begin to pray. Or thank God for your predetermined praise. Or thank God that you came through that trouble and God brought you through. Just like he's going to bring these through in the name of Jesus. So Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight. I touch and agree with my sister that there is help in the time of trouble. And I come in agreement, Jesus, with my sister tonight. And I say, Lord Jesus, no matter how the enemy has convinced and arranged, she would see through the dark tonight and see the sun rising again. In Jesus' name. I thank you tonight, Father, that you see through, yes, Lord, you see through the darkness into the light. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, my brother. God. I anoint my brother tonight, Father, a consecrated vessel of the King, of the Lord of Lords. Set him aside, Father, for your purpose and for your kingdom's sake. I come in agreement that he will find his help in this trouble. In Jesus' name. I anoint my sister, God. I touch her and I agree. Decreeing and declaring over her life now, Father, that the enemy shall not have victory. But you shall have the victory. Because my name is the Lord and there is none other. God sent me by just to remind you of that. So receive your victory tonight. In the name of Jesus. I speak life now. I come against every demonic stronghold. Oh, this isn't the first time trouble has come. Because it has tried to defeat you and has tried to convince you that you will never win the victory. But I decree and declare tonight by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you have the victory. And I say that you will find your help tonight. You'll find your help. You will embrace your help. Your help is in the name of the Lord. All you got to do is cry out, Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. That's all. That's all you got to say. And he'll do it for you. In Jesus' name. Have some more. Father, I anoint my sister tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, your great faith, your enthusiasm is so pleasing to God. But like Peter, you found yourself in the midst of a storm, walking on the water with him, and suddenly fear begins to set in. But Peter cried out, "Lord, save me. Lord, save me." In the midst of trouble, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And he reached out and took Peter's hand. And they walked together. Oh, Jesus, thank you. They walked together back to the boat. And that's where you're going. You're walking on the storms with Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I anoint my brother tonight with the oil of the joy of the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you that you are going to replace lamenting with predetermined praise. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you that that word is a now word for you. I just sense that in my spirit. God said, predetermine your praise every day and give him all the glory and know that he will help you and he will not forsake you. Thank you, Lord. I just come in agreement right now with my brother and I release that predetermined praise now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for the oil of the joy of the Holy Ghost. Lord Jesus, this family, Father, is destined for a praise party. And I come in agreement with them right now. Lord, I put myself on the invitation list. Lord, I'm gonna dance with their dance, and I'm going to clap with their clap, and I'm going to shout with their shout, and I'm going to dance with their dance. God, I thank you for the victory that's on its way, because help is in trouble. Just look for the help, because God is right there. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Woo! Amen. An uncommon praise, that's what I see. An uncommon praise. I mean, I'm talking about like wild praise. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Prota kasemed karebere sota. Shikarande karalabo dorote berese. No, we've opened the gate because trouble has fenced you in on every side. Trouble has tried to contain you and hold you back. But tonight the Holy Ghost has opened up the gate. And all he's asking you to do now is to come on out of where you have been contained. Because you aren't going to live there anymore. The open land is for you. God has prepared big things for your life. And you're no longer going to live in this small space that's been worn and path-worn. God's got a whole new land for you. So I call you out of that trouble. I call you out of that trouble. God will make a way for you tonight in Jesus' name. And I release you to the help of the Lord. Yeah, I thank you, Jesus, because God thinks that much of you. God thinks that much about you. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Thank you, Lord. I anoint with oil this family, Jesus. And I say, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, I decree and I declare out of my mouth, Father, and come in agreement with them that trouble has an end, but God's help has no end. Trouble and night will come to an end, but the sun will always stay in its socket from where you flung it, where you declared that it will go. God, I thank you that there is a turnaround here. And Father, that the bright and morning star will shine brightly through their life and in their life tonight. God, I thank you that this message was a message of a hope, a love letter written from heaven, detailed just for you. And God has brought to you an encouragement tonight to get ready for a predetermined praise party. Hallelujah. Oh, I believe that, Lord. I believe that, Jesus. Father, I thank you, and I anoint with oil tonight. I decree, I declare now, Lord Jesus, that there is no weapon formed against you that will prosper. I thank you tonight, Lord Jesus, that there is a well. 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 Oh, God, there is a well of refreshing. And even as Isaiah declared that you draw from the wells of your salvation, that the joy of the Lord will spring up in your well. Spring up, O well. Spring up, O well. Spring up, O well. Spring up, O well. And I'm here tonight by the Holy Spirit to remove the capstone over the well, the joy of the Lord that is in your life. And I say, be free in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that help is on the way. Help is on the way, my brother. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. Come on, you've got to get your eyes off the trouble and start getting them on the name of Jesus. The name is where your help lies, according to Psalm 124. So when you cry out the name of Jesus, when the enemy comes in like a flood, oh, the Lord shall rise up a standard against him, and the Lord shall flood him with the river of living water out of your being. And I say now, lift up your voice and declare, Jesus! Declare, Jesus, help me, Jesus! Jesus, help me, Jesus! Oh, it was blind Bartimaeus that cried out, Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on me, Jesus. The disciples told him to hush, 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 to stop, quiet down. But he cried all the more, Jesus, Jesus. There'll be things in your life, your past, even your present, even your acts, even the things that you have done, things that others have done to you, that'll cry out, stop, stop, stop. He's not listening, but cry out all the more. God said, if you'll cry out, he'll turn, he'll turn, he'll hear your cry, because there's help in the name of the Lord. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I come in agreement, and I anoint oil, Father, my brother. I say tonight, Father, I know that there is help in his life, Jesus, that you love him so much. And oh, the love of the Father is unconditional. The love of the Father is being poured out upon you. And even as of recent, experiencing that more than you've ever had before, it is God's grace that even Paul talked about. It is the grace that you are what you are. But guess what? There is more to come. You are becoming. God is going to open up the great doors of your becoming. Hallelujah. Because God is helping you to be what he has destined you to be. Even though trouble has tried to mar you, trouble has tried to scar you, trouble has tried to tie you down and hold you back. But the help of the Lord, the help of the Lord, it's likened unto Samson, that when the Philistines came upon him, he broke the cords asunder. God said, you're going to break them asunder. Sunder, because I'm going to come upon you. I'm going to give you my help, because help is present in times of trouble. I agree with that tonight, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for my brother tonight, Lord. I lay hands upon him with great faith and expectation. And I believe tonight, Jesus, you're in this room, Lord. You're in this very room. You're in this very room. You're here now, Lord. And we welcome you, Holy Spirit. We look to you, God, because in the time when it's the darkest of night, when we can't see our hand before our face, when we don't know where to go and what direction to take, God, we're even afraid to take a step because we can't see. Lord, I pray you give him eyes, give him night vision, God. Give him eyes to see, Lord, the rising of the sun. Give him eyes to see, oh God, that it's in its brightest position at noon. By the time the sun gets hot, you shall have help from the name of the Lord. So, Lord God, tonight we come in agreement, Lord, and we speak help, 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 help. Thank you, Lord. Help, help, help. Thank you, Jesus. And stop thinking you have to qualify for this help. No, 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 you don't. It's by God's grace. God delivers it to you. He wants to help you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I anoint with oil this family, Jesus. And I say, Father, that your help comes, Jesus. Your help comes, Jesus. We can't use doctor's help. We can't use other people's help, Lord. They're good to have, but God, we need your help. And so, Lord, right now, you said in trouble, you're a very present help. You said with trouble comes help. So, God, right now, we stand in faith. And we say, Lord, it's in the name. It's in the name of Jesus. 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 Come on, everybody, stand up and lift your hands up and sing that. Jesus. Jesus. Come on, say, Jesus. We need your help, Jesus. Come on, Ashley. Sing it, Ashley. Sing it now. Jesus. You are a very present help in times of trouble. Jesus. 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 Jesus, oh, his presence. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, I love that name. Your name is deliverance to me. Your name is healing to me. I love the name of Jesus. I love the name of Jesus. I love the name of Jesus. I speak 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 the name of Jesus. And all fear is gone. Do not fear, for I am with you, and I will strengthen you. And I will uphold you. And I will be with you. My righteous right hand. Lord, just reach up your hand and take his righteous right hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For your love, Lord God, is sweeter than wine. And your presence, Lord, is so comforting and reassuring to us. We just say thank you. I want to say thank you for all you've done for me. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so blessed by your name. Now, Father, I thank you tonight for your people, for they are precious in your sight. Every man and woman in this room, and boy and girl in this building, created in the most precious name of Jesus, in your image. And so, Father, we love them and we thank you for their lives. Teach us, Lord, how to love one another the way you love us. Teach us, oh God, to protect and cover the way you protect and cover us. And we leave this room tonight, Jesus. I pray that when we rise in the morning tomorrow, the first words out of our mind would be Jesus. And come what may, whether trouble comes tomorrow or the next day, it doesn't really matter, because you said you would never leave us nor forsake us. So I choose to trust in the Lord and lean not to mine own understanding, but in all of my ways I'm going to acknowledge you. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are so privileged to be with you tonight, and so we send you out tonight in the name of the Lord, and go in victory, and go with the expectation that even when you're in trouble, that help is there alongside of you. Live right, love everybody. That means you can't pick and choose who you love. Pray hard, not light, because times require a godly intercession on the earth. You know, if you choose not to live right, it'll come crashing down. So make the right choice. And I don't say that flippantly at the end of a service. It's Micah who told us to live right, love everybody, and pray hard. It's summed up in those three acclamations of his glory. And this week I've had to deal with some situations of pastors who have called me and made the wrong choices. They didn't live right. And now their family is torn apart because of adultery. So I don't say that flippantly. I say live right. And when you don't think you're living right, call somebody and say, I need help. Don't be so proud to think that you can handle it on your own. And when I say love everybody, get through some of your prejudices. Work yourself through some of your philosophies or ideologies that have separated you or caused you to look down on people, whether it's the gender or whether it's race or whether it's age. Break free from that. That's a bondage of hell. And when I say pray hard, I don't mean scream at the top of your lungs. I mean with every opportunity and breath that you have, give him glory and give him praise. So we'll see you on Sunday morning. Other than that, if we don't, I'll see you on the north side. God bless you. Good night.